everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. We are back from our hiatus because I ended up chatting in depth with YouTuber and filmmaker Jake Jarvey about our undying love of Scream and other movies, of course, since Scream 5 was being released, and I thought it would be appropriate to come back a little early because there's all this excitement, at least on my end and with all my friends. Have you had a chance to see Scream 5 yet? I've seen it twice in the last 4 days, and I thought it was awesome. I would love to hear what you think about it, too. With Jake, he talked a lot about his love for movies like April Fool's Day and H2O, how he got into slashers in reverse order, and what his favorite Mike Flanagan movie is. He also tells me which is the best horror franchise to binge in one sitting, and yes, I do mean one sitting with no nap breaks, plus an alternative ending that he would have loved to see Scream 4 take, or it would have at least been interesting. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people find us. I think I've rambled enough, so let's get into this episode with Jake Jarvey. Our guest today is the host of a YouTube channel called Pineapple Boy Films that lists itself as the home of the Plantoon Power Squadron. On his channel, he's done marathons of The Conjuring and the Final Destination movies, double features of movies like Let the Right One In and Let Me In, and it's generally a good time to watch him and his friends sit around and have fun watching these movies. He also has a podcast called Movied, and I initially found him when he took his friend Greg, aka Wheezy Waiter, through the top 10 scariest movies of all time. After watching that video, I knew I had to talk to him about these movies and his history with horror movies. So let's bring Jake on. Hey, Jake, how are you?
Hi, Allison. It's very nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So I came to horror a little bit late. Outside of horror, I am a video editor and shooter. I shoot for a YouTube channel called Rob Scallon. It's a music YouTube channel with around 2 million subscribers. And he is very understanding of my horror love. So that's very good. And I did the Platoon of Power Squadron for over 8 years. It was a long running web series, 10 episodes. Each episode was about an hour long by the end. And yeah, I'm just a video guy who loves horror movies in particular. And Movied is the kind of the result of that. I just love talking movies with my friend Craig. And he is a guy named Wheezy Waiter, as you mentioned. And occasionally I show up on his channel to weigh in on whatever crazy experiment he's doing on himself that month.
Awesome. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Scream.
Such a good choice. That's also one of my top three favorites.
I know, but your favorite is Scream 3. I've been seeing on the Twitter account, you've been doing the rewatch in anticipation of Scream 5.
Yes, and I just got done watching Scream 3 a little while ago. Both of my Scream and my Scream 3 DVDs they won't play. So I had to rent them both. And then I just ordered new copies. But yeah, I loved Scream 3 even more, even though the continuity, the timing that they lay out, it doesn't make sense, but I just love it. So
did you, but it wasn't the first one that you saw? It was like,
no,
you saw them in order?
I saw them in order. It was the first one that I saw in theaters though. So that might have something to do with it.
That can definitely have an effect.
Yeah.
Scream was the first slasher movie I ever saw in theaters, period. Yeah, it was like one of the first horror movies I ever saw. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. I sat with like a huge audience and everybody was just screaming along with Scream. And it was incredible. I was so scared though. I've always been scared of the horror movies ever since I was a kid, but always intrigued with them. And so when Scream started, I'd never really seen a slasher. I maybe had seen April Fool's Day somehow, the 80s version. Mm-hmm. But so after Drew Barrymore died, I didn't know, like, and when we went to Sydney's room and like the phone rang, I thought, oh my God, is this just going to be vignettes of young women getting murdered like over and over again, call them, murder them? I had no idea what I was watching and it blew my mind.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah. So I obviously didn't see Scream in theaters, but I saw it. We rented it. My best friend and I, we rented it when it came out on VHS. Guys, yeah. VHSs were before DVDs. And we were like sitting on top of each other by the end of the first scene. And then we turned the lights on. So,
yeah.
But I did get to see it in theaters in September. They showed it in a theater in New York City for this anniversary, even though it was a few years early. But yeah.
That's super cool. I thought about getting out to see that then too, but it was just the timing didn't line up. But I mean, it was just like a one night only thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I really don't want to be doing this on a Monday night, but I probably won't have a chance to do it again. So
yeah. Yeah. I saw it twice in the theater that first weekend. Like my dad took us to it, and then we immediately I grabbed as many of my friends as I could convince, and we all piled in the car and went to the movie theater right away again. Because I needed to see them see it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
Yeah. So I think I've always been kind of interested in the creepy stuff, and for no particular reason, like the Garfield Halloween special is one that really freaked me out as a kid, but I kept going back to it. And I kind of always gravitated towards the horror section or anything bloody. Like if there were a movie, my family was one of those families that would just be like, let's go to the movies, and we'd go to the movie theater and whatever was playing at that time, you know, before we didn't even check times or whatever, what lines up with our time, these three movies we could go see. And I would always aim for the one that had the blood on the poster, even though my family is not a horror family. That's not their scene, but so since I was kind of interested in that, my mom was like, check out this movie, Lady in White. You ever see that one?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Okay. Lady in White is an 80s ghost movie starring Lucas Haas. And he's just this little boy who stays after school, or these mean kids lock him in the school closet over the overnight. And he sees this little ghost girl come into the room that he's in, and she's reenacting her death. She's just living it out. She's talking to somebody he can't see. He watches her get strangled and killed in the room. Mm. And it's horrifying. And so then he's kind of trying to figure out who this little ghost girl is. And so it's a ghost story that then turns into kind of a serial killer movie as well. And it's PG. And it was terrifying.
I will have to look that up. All right.
Yeah.
In White.
It's very 80s. The effects are very, you can see the, the blue screen edging around the ghosts and stuff. And as long as you can get down with that, it's a good time. But it's especially for a kid, so we would watch it a couple times, and I tried to handcuff myself to the chair to make myself stay through the scariest scene. And instead I just ran out of the room with the chair.
I mean, whatever it takes.
Yeah. So I just kept, but after that I kept kind of trying to push the horror thing, just trying to kind of acclimate to it, because for some reason I was drawn to it, even though it scared me so bad. And that's why I think eventually my mom was like, yeah, I saw this movie April Fool's Day, a few years ago, and now it's on VHS, and you can watch that one if you want to watch one of these things, which I'm surprised rewatching it now, it's pretty sexual as well. So, which I was surprised to find, but I loved it. And then after Scream, it was over for me. I just had to, keep diving deeper. And now it's just a lifestyle, you know, at this point, it's mostly what I watch is horror movies.
Yeah. We didn't choose the horror life. The horror life chose us.
Exactly. That's what Stephen King says about it too.
That's awesome. I saw April Fool's Day, I think once last year. I think it was the original. The ending is great, but before that, it was just, it's very 80s, which is not
Very 80s.
That's not my thing. So.
No. No, it's if you're a Scream devotee, you're probably much more into the 90s slasher cycle.
Yeah.
Teen Screams.
Yeah, and even the early 2000s. I haven't seen all the remakes from the early 2000s, but the late 90s, early 2000s, that's kind of my jam until 2010 and forward. Because
absolutely. You weren't into the torture porn.
No. Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's so I had a grim fascination with that, but it wasn't the same kind of attraction as you said, late 90s, early 2000s stuff. Scream, Final Destination, all that stuff. I loved, loved, loved until then. Yeah, we get past the Hostiles and the Saws, and we get more into like almost the nostalgic throwback stuff, like House of the Devil. And I mean, It Follows. Like, these are the ones that just are now topping my list, you know?
Yeah,
this is so fun. I never get to like really dive into talking horror publicly, you know?
Good. Awesome. Well, that's what I love to do. And that's why I have this podcast. So yeah, I remember I got to see It Follows in a theater in New York City back in the day. So that was fun. I don't think I've rewatched it since then though, but I remember it being very, very creepy.
I watch it like once a year and at least. And then I found this new video store in the city of Chicago. They're a VHS store and they also have kind of like rare bootleg stuff. And Ooh. So they had It Follows on VHS. And I rented it and watched it on VHS and it still holds up. Unfortunately, they had it letterboxed to the correct aspect ratio. I kind of wanted to see how they would do it if they had to like pan and scan it, like really get, you know, take out the letterbox and really crop everything out.
So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I think, like we said, I think it's just something that calls out to certain people. And I think I've done a lot of investigating on it and I can't remember what I said, which of these things I said to Craig in his video, in the Wheezy Waiter Watches the 5 Scariest Horror Movies video. But like, so there's a few things. One, there's the roller coaster aspect, right? There's people who enjoy a thrill, a vicarious thrill, like to watch somebody survive something horrifying just to know that somebody can survive something horrifying. And then you feel that rush and that triumph. But then Stephen King also, so I do a lot of Stephen King quoting just because I'm such, I love Stephen King.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. So he was talking to, unfortunately, Charlie Rose in an interview. And he was like, my mom found all these clippings I had of the Charlie Starkweather murders under my bed. I'd clipped everything I could find out of the newspaper, especially pictures of the guy. And I had them all in a box under my bed. And my mom was very worried about me because I was like 10 years old. And she was like, why do you have this? What are you interested in this guy about? And he couldn't explain it to her satisfaction. And she was just nervous about it. But he said like what he hadn't been able to articulate but understood within himself is that he needed to understand everything about this guy so that if he ever encountered someone like him in the real world, he could get out of there. And I think there's an aspect of that in horror too. Like, we want to see all of the horrible things that can happen so we can avoid them. like there's kind of a survivalist instinct in it as well. And I know, like I said, I was super scared as a kid. And I think I just wanted to know all the scary things out there so that they couldn't get me.
Definitely. That makes sense. We want to know, we want to be able to like create our own escape plan in our minds.
Absolutely. Or see all the ones that work. Like, we see a lot of ones that don't work.
Yeah.
but the final girls show us the way through, you know?
Even though Sydney does run up the stairs.
She had no options. She had no options. Like, the door was locked. There was no time. She had to duck under and the only way out was up. I totally empathize with her decision-making there and Kevin Williamson's decision-making to show that the people who criticize these things will also succumb to them in the heat of the moment.
Oh yeah. It's really interesting that you say that he was doing that.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that.
For sure.
What's your favorite subgenre in horror?
It's slashers, and it comes straight from Scream as well. And I didn't know for a long time because I really do love ghost movies. I like movies about hauntings and like Mike Flanagan's stuff, like Haunted Mirror Oculus is still one of my tops. I just love that movie so much. Haunting of Hill House, of course, is incredible. Yep. I just love everything that guy does. But slashers always seemed so like the one that... they were the subgenre that society was like, look at this garbage, you know? So I never thought that I could like it. And I didn't watch Friday the 13th movies forever because they were the top of the garbage. You know, everyone was like, Friday the 13th is just a slasher, kill the kids and have the sex. You know, like it was the like Mount Rushmore of garbage filmmaking. And so I stayed away from it because I was a film guy and like, I like Tarantino. And so like, I've always been into movies forever, but I never really like leaned into the horror stuff for so long because it was so looked down upon. I just was interested in it. But after Scream, and after I kind of moved out on my own and just had access to all, you know, all of the horror aisle of the video store, I started finally watching the slasher movies, and they were the ones that always got me the most excited. And I didn't watch any of the OG slashers, like in the way they were supposed to. The first Halloween movie I saw was H2O, very first one.
Yeah, me too. Same.
And so I have so much love for that movie. I love H2O. And the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie I saw was New Nightmare. So like, I'm coming to these things from the other side of it. I'm seeing them at the end of their cycles and then going back to the beginning. But for some reason, it's the slasher one. What's your favorite one?
It is psychological. Things like The Ring.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is my favorite subgenre. I think I like slashers, but they're often so mindless. I came to slashers the way you did as well. Like, I got into Scream, and then I just last year or in 2020, I went back and I watched A Nightmare on Elm Street, and a couple of years before that, I watched the first Halloween and the Friday the 13th movies, some of them, and they're not very good, in my opinion. So,
right. And I watched all of the Fridays for the very first time. The only Friday I'd seen was, so the first Friday I watched was Jason X, Jason in Space. And I thought that was a blast. I thought it was so fun. And of course, it's in the meta side of things. So like, yeah, they're poking fun at themselves and everything. But so I, like you said, I have these night marathons where my friends and I will sit down around the Halloween season and watch an entire franchise in one sitting and time lapse our reactions to them. And so the first time I saw the rest of the all other 11 of the Friday the 13th movies was in that night marathon. And I loved it. Like, it was pretty rough to do all in one sitting, because many of them are so alike, but like the good ones really shone through in that scenario. And that's what you find doing like a franchise in a day, is like the cream rises to the top. And some of the ones that people hate for being different, you love, because at least they're not the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. I can relate to that. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of Friday the 13th in one sitting. I don't know if I could do that. That's many hours.
It is. It was.
Oh, God. Oh, did you take breaks?
No, you got to go straight through, because you're time lapsing. I have to do it before I fall asleep.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Well, you're doing the Lord's work.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for recognizing that.
You know, someone has to.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Mike Flanagan film or TV show?
So I love all of them, but my favorite still probably is Oculus.
Okay.
Like, I just, there's something about that story. I mean, have you seen it?
Yes. I love it too.
Yeah. It's something about the way that he takes the concept that sounds so ridiculous, the haunted mirror, and makes it like, so like you said, psychological, like making it all psychological and what it does to their minds and how it affects them and pulls them into its weird warped world is brilliant. And the way that he does jumps back and forth between them as kids and them as adults, the timeline mixing is so seamless. The transitions are incredible. He's just a really, really amazing filmmaker.
Yeah, I really love that film. I always have to like close my eyes at that part where the main girl,
the apple.
Yes, the apple. Oh my god. Oh, it's so rough.
It's so rough. It's so rough. And Karen Gillan is so amazing. She's a, yes. Like, that was the first time I wasn't a Doctor Who fan, so that's the first time I remember seeing her was in that movie. And she, and I, after that, I was like, whatever she does, I'm going to check it out. She's amazing.
She is great. I first saw her. She has a very tiny role in the movie, The Big Short.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're at that conference in Las Vegas or something. And she's hanging out by the pool, and she knows one of the hedge fund managers who are trying to short the market. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I was like, oh, okay. That's her. She's in this movie too.
And now she's in like every franchise ever. So she's doing very well for herself.
I have to look her up and see what else she's on, because that's all I've seen her in. So,
oh, but well, she's in the Avengers movies. Oh. She's Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess. She's Gamora's sister. She's underneath all the makeup.
Not really. I'm not very literate. Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's fine. Well, so you haven't seen Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle then?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, that's a blast, and she's amazing in it.
All right, good to know. When I don't want to watch any horror,
yeah,
I will put that on.
When you're on a little horror sabbatical, welcome to the jungle.
Yes, I watched in the last 11 days of last year, I watched 25 movies, and most were
holy
horror.
Cow.
So I after that, I was like, I need some shitty Netflix rom-coms. Just yeah. Put those into my brain.
You're speaking my language right now, because that is my second favorite genre is the rom-com.
Did you watch Single All the Way?
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, it was very cute. And I watched other one on Netflix. I can't remember.
Hey, I'm sorry. I know this is a horror podcast. Are you hip to the Princess Switch trilogy?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, so Vanessa Hudgens, or as we call her in this household, V Hudge, she has a Princess Switch, kind of Princess and the Pauper series. Okay. About like a fake kingdom, and she looks like the queen or the princess, or I guess she's Princess Switch. So she's the princess. So they swap places or whatever. Movie one is exactly the Hallmark Netflix model that you would imagine. Movie two gets a little better because they bring in a bad girl character, a third character she looks alike. Princess Switch 3, glorious. They turn it into like a Mission Impossible jewel heist movie, and it's ridiculous and fun.
Oh, that's fun. I'll put those on in my queue. For next time, yeah. I need a horror break.
Absolutely.
Well, what? So you have done a lot of not live streams, but YouTube videos where you watch a whole bunch of franchises all in order, like you said before. What has been your favorite horror franchise to binge?
Okay, so the best long one for binging is Nightmare on Elm Street. It's constantly creative, even if some of the other elements, like the characters, start to get kind of annoying. The good people characters, as Freddy gets jokier and jokier, the dream sequences are always like compelling and cool. And then I think the Final Destination series is great. Three of them are outstanding, and then there's one that's fine and one that's just outright bad. Four is the worst one.
Yes.
For me. Yeah,
it's bad. What are the three that you love?
Oh, well, one, two, and five. Yes. I think one, I mean, one is, so one, I saw as soon as it hit DVD or VHS. Oh, okay. It was right at that time. I didn't see it in the theater, but I was working in a video store when it came out. So like the night before it came out, like, I don't know if you are old enough to even have worked in video stores.
I never did, but I saw Final Destination 1 and 2 in theaters.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So that was one of those ones. It was still when I was trying to just see like all the very highfalutin movies. So like I was probably going to the theater to see Magnolia and like those types of movies. Mm-hmm. And so when I did see that in the theater, when like when the horror movies would come in to VHS, that's when I would take them and watch them on my own. So Final Destination came in and I just watched it over and over again. I thought that the death traps were so cool. And I guess in a way it could also kind of be like the precursor to a Saw death trap style. But I just thought it was so much more inventive for it to be like, death is after you. It's death itself is coming for you. And 1 and 2, I think, are glorious. And 5 is incredible. It ratchets the tension back up with characters that are actually interesting to be around.
And that ending is just incredible.
Incredible. Oh. Just incredible.
It's so good. I love those movies. I was so happy with 5 being was wrapping up the entire series, but they are filming a 6th one. So
sure. Hey, you know what? I'll take it. I don't like even the movies that I love, like Scream series, like they announced a Scream 5. I'm like, all right, I will be there. Like I said, like we were talking about days we could record, and I could not schedule myself for next Friday because I need to be there as soon as I can be, and I can't go to a Thursday night screening. I just like any of the franchises, any of them, I'll watch them all. Bring them my way. And nothing can ruin anything for me. Like what comes after can't ruin what came before.
You are such a generous horror movie viewer. I am so picky. The first time I saw Scream 4, I was like, this doesn't need to exist. I'm fine without this movie. 3 was a perfect ending. I was like, I hate this. But I've come around to it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
See, and I'm ashamed to say that's how I felt with Scream 3. Mm. Like Scream 3, when I saw it in the theater, I was like, this is over the top. It is not what I came to Scream for, and I am exhausted. And so I was so done with it that when Scream 4 came out, I didn't see it in the theater. I waited and I rented it on Redbox. I was like, so here I am proving myself wrong, right? Like, give me whatever, give me whatever. But I think that was like, what, that was 2011 when Scream 4 mm-hmm. came out. Yep. So like, that was a different time for me personally too. So like, now I'm much more forgiving about whatever. I think franchises can be reinvented as much as anybody wants to reinvent them. And like, I might not be as into it as some of them, like the Black Christmas movies, like the first Black Christmas, I adore. And then the really gnarly 2006 Black Xmas, mm-hmm. I thought was okay at the time, but now that we're, you know, 15 years out of it, like I rewatched it and I was like, that movie is gnarly and it's super colorful and bright. Yeah. And I mean, it's really, really, really nasty and gory.
It's
I think it's so like the set deck and everything on it, the production design, mm-hmm. it's so Christmassy and then so dark and bloody. And I mean, come on, skin Christmas cookies. That's just, that's a good time.
Oh, I cannot. No, that it was just so gross. But I like seeing Andrea Martin. She was like the drunk house mother.
Yeah, no, she was great. She was great in there. And then the new Black Christmas, I like that they made it different. Like, I don't like it as much as the other two, but like, I like that they did something new with it and it was interesting. And I love Imogen Poots. So like, give me that one too.
Oh, if you like what Final Destination does, I would suggest you watch a movie by the same writer called Don't Look Back that's on VOD.
Okay.
It came out last year.
Nice. Yeah,
or okay. It's 2020. So okay. Yeah. It kind of has the same theme, like something's after you.
Super cool.
But yeah, I would.
Oh, I will definitely watch that.
Yeah, yeah. Jeffrey Reddick wrote that one as well. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a fun follow on Twitter too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
So you said you love the Saw franchise. Why do you like it so much?
Okay. So no, I don't love the Saw franchise. That's not one of the ones that I like am super into. That was a fun day of like, we did the Saw franchise in one day and they get kind of samey and they get less and less interesting characters, but the traps stay fun. And in a group environment, they're really fun to kind of shout at, like, like around, like trying to get the characters to do something different or just shout, like, you know what, like you think you've cracked the code on whatever puzzle they're like riddle they're pulling on you in this version of the timeline. Like, they're fun group movies. So I appreciate that about the Saw franchise. And I really like Saw 2, especially. I like Murder House. Like, the fact that there's so many traps in this one house, there's like a super cool premise and it's fun to follow those characters through. And some of them are likable and some of them are horrible, but like, sometimes that's just the way it's gotta be.
All right. I've only seen Saw and Spiral. So maybe I've been thinking about maybe watching more of the Saw movies, but the first Saw gave me nightmares when I saw it as a senior in high school. So, and I saw it in theaters and I had no idea what I was getting into and it just scarred me.
So Saw 1 is much more like what some people would call a psychological thriller, you know, like it's a cop movie. It's much more a cop movie and the twist is great and the setup is great and it's super saleable and it's, I mean, it made just gazillions of dollars. So good on them. And it gave us James Wan, you know? I love that guy. I love it. And I know, like, as I said, I've kind of seen your Twitter account and I know that you were down on Malignant, but I loved Malignant.
I did not like Malignant. I did not like Malignant last year and I did not like Halloween Kills. I was so sad. I wanted to like both those movies so much. They were just not for me.
I was kind of out on Halloween Kills too. That one wasn't for me. I keep watching the first, the Halloween 2018. Like, it wasn't, there's certain things about it that weren't for me, but then I saw it in a packed house screening with just like 2 years, like right before the pandemic, the October before the pandemic. So I guess it's 2019.
Yeah.
And they were just showing the first Halloween and then Halloween 2018. And the audience that I saw it with, packed house, giant old movie auditorium, went crazy for it. And it just made me love it so much. They had such a good time.
I really liked Halloween 2018. So that's why I went into Halloween Kills with such high expectations. And then I was like, what is this? I left and I was like, I turned to my friend. And I was like, that was not good.
I had fun with it, but it's not something that I'm going to be revisiting on a regular. Although, you know what? They got me this time. So it's coming out on 4K, like right now, like as we're recording this, it's coming out next week. And I'm going to have to get it because I own every Halloween film over here. And unlike Halloween 2018, they're releasing this one with a commentary track with David Gordon Green and Jamie Lee Curtis. And so I'm going to have to buy it and listen to the commentary track.
All right. That's fair. That's fair.
But what was the other one? Malignant. So with, I'm sorry if this is too painful to talk about.
No, it's fine.
But okay. So with Malignant, were you looking for more of a regular James Wan movie and not like his B-grade yes. pizza movie?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I thought I was going to get like a serious horror movie, like maybe The Conjuring, the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
For- and I kind of guessed what was going on from the beginning.
Yeah, so absolutely.
The reveal at the end, I was like, that makes sense. Well, that checks out.
No, for sure. Like with people who are as engaged with horror as we are, like, I mean, it was Dark Half. It was Basket Case, you know, it was, we could see the writing on the wall, but like, even with that, I never expected Matrix style fight sequences. Like that was so awesome. That was so ridiculously awesome.
That's one phrase for it. Yeah, sure. I recently watched the first Matrix movie because I was going to go see the new one with some friends in theater. And I'm like, I should watch the first one first. And I was like, what is this? I was like, I'm not going tomorrow. This is not for me.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, some things we come to too late. And as you said, some things just aren't for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked up that phrase from my favorite horror YouTuber, Sarah Hawkinson. She's always like, it just wasn't for me. And I was like, that's a much more polite way of saying, I thought this movie was hot garbage. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. there is that aspect to it. And I just think I've seen it more and more where people are trying to, at least in my Twitter sphere, certain people are trying to phrase things in a more open kind of way like that. And I really appreciate it. Instead of being like, this movie sucks and here's why, being like, that one wasn't for me. I see it's obviously for these other people who are going crazy for it. But, you know, I appreciate that kind of term, like ideology is entering the conversation at this late stage.
Yeah.
So I like that you've, added it to your lexicon.
Thank you. I have some good horror friends who, if I'm going to watch any movie that's from before the 2000s, I will go to them and I would be like, is this a movie I will like? And they're like, no, it's not. It is way too 80s for you. Skip.
I was like, yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a definite aesthetic. That's a yes. definite aesthetic.
Yeah, it's a vibe. So who are your favorite horror directors?
So, I mean, it's not super adventurous, you know, like of the new guys, I love James Wan. And even though he only really did the one horror movie, I don't know. I didn't see Secret Lives of Teenagers, but like David Robert Mitchell, because I think It Follows is exceptional. It's exactly the tone that I want. So I kind of put him up there. And Adam Wingard. So I love his movies, and The Guest especially, even though it's kind of like horror adjacent, it's more like sci-fi action movie,
yeah,
is one of my absolute favorite movies. So Adam Wingard, keep my eye on. And oh my god, the writer of that movie just had a movie come out, this, I love him to death, and I can't remember his name all of a sudden, just blanking on him, but he had a movie called Seance come out on Shudder this year.
Oh yeah, I watched that. Let's see.
Simon Barrett is his name.
Yes,
he is so talented as a writer. So I'm glad he's starting to direct, and I'm excited to see what he does next. But like Wingard and Barrett are kind of my A team currently.
Nice.
Yeah. And although they haven't teamed up in a while because Wingard's doing like blockbuster movies like Godzilla versus Kong and stuff like that. But if you're going into the old stuff, I mean, Wes is my boy. Wes Craven is the one. He's the one. He's the one for me. And I love John Carpenter, of course. But Wes, number one with a bullet.
Nice. Going back to Simon Barrett and Adam Wingard, I really like your next. I feel like not enough people will talk about that movie.
Yeah, it is definitely a cult flick. And after its initial disappointing release, really found its audience from at least film Twitter. Everybody that I see and know goes nuts for it. It it's so funny because that is a slasher. It's a straight up slasher. Mm-hmm. And I like their approach to it. I like the characters. Something about it, just, I like that she has all this survivalist knowledge. I think that's super cool, but I don't rewatch that one. Whereas The Guest, I like It Follows, I watch at least once a year, if not more. And so I don't know what it is about Your Next. I appreciate it, but I can't, it's not, doesn't have my heart.
I mean, that's fair. It's, I think I've only watched it maybe twice.
Sure. So,
but I think it's great. What is your favorite movie in the Conjuring universe?
Oh, Conjuring, the first one. Yeah. I mean, I really, really liked Conjuring too. Yes, I really liked really that good. A lot. Oh, wait, the Conjuring universe?
Yeah.
So we're going into the Annabelles and all the extended universe?
Them, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's good.
So yes, actually, the Conjuring is still my favorite, but if I was going to put on one, it would be Annabelle Comes Home.
Oh,
that's
cool.
That's the one that I'm going to put on every time because it is basically the new Monster Squad. It's super, super cool. And I love it. It's the pizza movie I'm looking for.
Is that the one with like the babysitter's boyfriend comes over or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All of the things in the Annabelle room, like several of them get out that night and they have to like deal with it. I just think the sequences, like the scare sequences are so well done. Mm-hmm. And the writer of all of those movies, not all of them, but he wrote like a bunch of them. That was his directorial debut. Gary Dauberman, I think is his name.
Huh.
And he directed that one. And I can't wait to see what he directs next because he, like the fun of that movie is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very good movie. Though.
Annabelle Creation was really fun. Really, really fun.
And that little blonde girl is adorable. I've seen her in other things and she's great.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see Ouija Origin of Evil?
Yes, I love that. That's a really good movie.
So she's in that, right?
Yes. She's the daughter.
And again, Mike Flanagan. Guy's killing it.
Yeah. Yeah. He can do no wrong. In Flanagan, we trust.
Absolutely.
So an article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
Well, it goes to kind of what we were talking about earlier. I'm no expert on the subject, but I can pontificate as well as the next person. So I would say, we've been spending so much time bracing ourselves for the worst that when the worst arrives, we were like, okay, so what are the rules? Like, because every horror movie has a set of rules. So as soon as the pandemic arrived, we were like, what are the rules? Okay. So wash your hands, wear a mask, 6 feet. I can do this. Yeah. This is way easier than trying to avoid like Freddy in my dreams. Like, so I think we are automatic rules followers in terms of like survival. And then I also think, I don't know about this, but a lot of the horror fans that I know are happy just kind of like wrapping themselves up in their entertainment for a while.
Yeah.
And if ever there was an excuse to do that, we found it.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened to me. I was laid off right at the beginning of the pandemic. And so I was like, oh, now I have time to watch all of these movies. So like I watched like Jaws and The Exorcist and Poltergeist and, the first Friday the 13th and just all the old horror movies that I've been putting off. So that was good. And I was like, all I have to do is stay home. That's it. But I'd never thought about it. Like we just looked at the rules and we were like, that's fine.
And I can't speak for everybody, obviously, but I know for me, it was like, okay, well, at least there's a certain pattern here that I know how to follow.
Yeah. When the Omicron variant had like a big breakout, I guess it's still in one right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
In New York City in December around the holidays, I was like, I'm not going out. I'm just staying home. I'm going to finish crossing movies off my 2021 list. And so that's why
25 in 11 days. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah. I didn't see my friends very much, but that was okay. No. 'Cause you shouldn't be hanging out with lots of people anyway.
So, yeah.
One of the rules. So like I said before, you do horror movie marathons. How'd you first come up with the idea to do them and then post the time lapses to your YouTube channel?
So like watch alongs have kind of always been a YouTube thing, but a lot of times people wouldn't show kind of the movie as they were going because it would get flagged by copyright and everything, which makes sense. And so you couldn't put advertising on those videos, but I don't care about that. And several of my videos have been, or the watch alongs at least, have been flagged for copyright for obvious reasons. Like the movie is visible as we're time lapsing it. Usually it's backwards in a mirror so that I don't have to put it in afterwards, but so that it's like, you can just kind of see basically what's happening in the movie as we're watching. Mm-hmm. But I didn't come up with it. So there was a blogger named Stacey Ponder she still is named Stacey Ponder, and she had a blog called The Final Girl. And so she just reviewed horror movies and everything. And one time she sat down to watch all of the Nightmares, or was it the Fridays? One of the series. And she did it all in one day and kind of blogged her experience of it. And I was like, well, I can do this, but on video, because I make videos at the time I was making the web series, I did a weekly vlog every week to let people know what was happening with the series. Cause by the end of it, there were so many visual effects. It was like a superpower series, so many visual effects and so much like time getting locations and actors and everything that each one took about a year to make. Honestly, Allison, I should have just been making movies. I should have just spent that time making movies, but it taught me so much about making movies. So I'm very grateful to it. But yeah, Stacey Ponder came up with that concept and I just put a time lapse to it. And it's an excuse to sit down and watch horror movies all day, which can be trying if there are more than 8 of them in a row, but like not trying because like you get sick of watching horror, but just because you start to get tired in a day. And I don't really take that kind of time to just marathon a series unless it's for like content, you know, which is kind of stupid, but that's the truth.
Nice. Are there any franchises that you want to marathon this year that you can spill the tea on?
So I would love to marathon. Well, I would love to do the Scream movies. I've been waiting for them to be 5 of them, you know, and now we're going to have 5. So like after they're on DVD, after they're on VOD or Blu-ray, I still have a healthy Blu-ray. I still buy all the ones that I love on Blu-ray or 4K now. So like I said, I have all the Scream movies. And so when I get 5, we'll be able to do that one. It'll probably be not this year though. I'm going to make a horror movie this year.
Oh, cool. Can you tell me anything about that?
Yeah, it's called Spook House. It's about a Halloween haunt. I'm sure you've seen several of those types. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's a Halloween haunt where somebody is going around killing the actors in the haunt leading up to Halloween. They're killing them in the manner that they are portraying injuries in the haunt.
Oh.
So the injuries that they fake become real through the serial killer. Uh-huh. And it's a masked killer wearing different costumes from the haunt every kill sequence. And then it's really about like a fun Halloween community is what the movie's mostly about. Then just with some cool kill sequences and like a big last action set piece.
Oh, awesome. It's called Spook House, you said?
Yeah, Spook House.
Awesome. When are you going to film it?
September is the idea. Right now I'm doing all the money raising stuff and mm-hmm. it's a big struggle as as every filmmaker ever has always said, but I'm gonna get there and we're gonna shoot it in September, some exteriors in October, and hopefully get it in the festivals, you know, start my festival submissions the year after that.
Oh, awesome. Well, good luck with that. I'll keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So how do you decide what horror movie to watch when you're just looking for something to watch for fun?
Ooh, that is a really tough question because it's like you said, there's something. So after watching enough horror, there's a certain amount of drag in a lot of horror movies. Mm-hmm. Like act one setup is always usually good. And the climaxes are good, probably 75% of the time. But in that second act, the second acts are really long. And they sometimes just drag on and on in like characters walking around in silent, dark places. And that can sometimes be a slog. And I'm not always in the mood to find out if movies are that. So it comes down to what Film Twitter is really excited about or what Shudder kind of has going on. Like sometimes if you don't want to make the choice, do you ever just go to Shudder and just turn on the what's happened, what's watching now thing?
I never do.
Shudder TV, I guess they call it.
Yeah, I never have. I've had a lot of people tell me that they do, but I never have.
Yeah. Like, so like if I'm really just like, I just want to watch something, top of my list is horror. Everything else is after that. And sometimes I'll just go to Shudder TV and, you know, boom, and we'll be in the middle of something awesome. And I'll just watch that or something I've never seen before. And there's something like we used to come into movies halfway all the time when people just watched whatever was on TV. And it's not something I realized I missed. Or like sometimes it can be more intriguing to not know where in the movie you're coming in, you know?
Yeah.
That can be kind of a fun game as well. But usually, yeah, it's what Shudder's curating or what film horror Twitter is buzzing about.
Yeah, I definitely watched a lot of stuff on Shudder at the end of last year, and I still have a very long list to get through.
I love that they do their best reviewed stuff of the year at the end of every year. So like at the end of 2020, I just went down and watched all their best of the year playlist. And so they did one now for 2021, and I haven't seen a bunch of the stuff that's on it. So I'm going to go down. That's my next rabbit hole, is I'm just going to kind of watch their playlist of what was best Shudder originals of 2021.
Oh, cool. Can you recall anything that was on it?
No, I mean, I could pull it up, but it's like one of the top playlists when you open Shudder.
Oh, okay.
If you go down, it's like featured, and then anything that you flagged is something you want to watch. And then under that, it's like best of 2021.
Let's see if I can find this. I'm already logged in. Best of 2021. Did I see it? Medium is on my list. Superhost, I saw. I loved.
Superhost, I loved. Yeah. It was so good. The actress who plays the Superhost is so amazing.
She's amazing. I interviewed Brandon Christensen, who wrote and directed it a couple.
Oh, really?
Ago. Yeah, he's super nice.
I gotta go back and watch. I gotta go back and listen to that one. That movie's so good.
Yeah, I watched The Columnist, which was pretty good. Jacob's Wife was not for me. I do not like vampires. Drinking blood is just, that's
I like vampires. So how'd you, I'm sorry. So I know you're in the middle of the list, but so how did Midnight Mass hit you?
It was fine because I feel like it was so heavy on like the Bible verses that were being shouted at us by the woman who worked in the church. Like,
yeah.
I just like, I could,
she was the true evil.
Oh my God, I wanted to kill her. But that absolutely, for some reason didn't bother me as much.
The Flanagan overcame the vampire thing for you.
Yes. I have watched most of these.
So what was your best of the best of 2021 on Shudder? You're my new recommendation.
Oh, okay. Caveat is really good. Did you watch that one yet?
Caveat was not for me.
Not for you? Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Violation, I'm trying. Oh, Violation is just, it's kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, I feel like that. I mean, the brutality is right on the thumbnail. I don't know if I'm like, it's hard for me to be in the mood for it, but like some night I'll get to it. It's the same with Revenge. Revenge had enough poppy colors to it. Like they advertised it with enough like fluorescent pink star earrings that I was like, okay, maybe they're going to balance it.
Did you like Revenge?
I liked Revenge quite a bit. I liked the grindhouse audacity of certain things, like her branding herself to close her wound was super cool.
It was a lot.
And I loved the end with the blood covered naked dude running around. Like that was so fun.
Yeah. Did you watch The Power?
No, I haven't seen The Power.
Okay. The Power was good. It was really creepy. Did you see Lucky or Slacks?
I did see Slacks. I thought Slacks was fun.
Yeah, it was good. Lucky is good, but it was not for me because it's like she's getting attacked every night and going through the same thing. It's a little bit like Groundhog Day.
I heard about that one. Okay. So it's like a not supposed to be fun, happy death day.
Yes. And the message behind it is just like, I was like, I don't need to be reminded of this. So
sure.
It was not for me. I think there are a lot of people who like it because it is a good, it's a well-made movie, but
yeah. The thing that I'm mostly looking for, like, and it's come up a couple times in this conversation, the thing that I find missing a lot of times from horror is people get a lot of the, like so much of the movies that are coming out are beautifully photographed because there's so many great cinematographers and it's getting easier and easier to have access to great cameras, all that stuff. if people take the time to light, you're going to have a movie that looks great. Or even if they don't, if they know where to put the camera, you're going to have a movie that looks great. And almost enough time to light will get you there. But a lot of the, and this is why I love Malignant. So like those movies that you used to just grab from the video store that were super fun and crazy and wild, with characters just having a blast, characters having fun together. Like a lot of horror has become so dour, you know? Like there's a lot of just straight-faced seriousness.
Yeah.
And I miss some of the fun. And that's why Malignant was like a breath of fresh air to me. Even though the characters were straight-faced and dour, you knew the movie was not.
The dialogue I could not deal with. I was like, what's going on?
It was straight off a VHS shelf.
Oh, God. Yeah, that movie ended and I was in like a half full theater maybe. And I just screamed. I was like, what the fuck did we just watch? Some people were like, yeah, we don't know. But yeah, people love it. That's great. That's great for them. I'm glad they liked it because I wish I did. So, yeah.
See, that's a great attitude, too. So yeah. Lucky was a little rough for you. But so then is Superhost just the best one?
Yeah, probably off this list. The Dark and the Wicked is on here too. Did you see that one?
No, but I hear it's so dour.
It was so depressing.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, I can't do it. I would recommend The Columnist.
Okay.
To be honest, yeah.
That's next on my list then. I'm going to watch The Columnist. But like, so The Dark and the Wicked, the thing that... people kept saying how dark it was. And that put me off because I saw Strangers, because he made The Strangers.
Oh,
right?
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I think the guy who did Strangers did Dark and the Wicked, and Strangers was obviously a very well-made film, but it was so depressing to me. Yeah. All the stock, like home invasion stuff worked very well. It was very tense and everything, but getting back to the thing I just cannot stop harping on. Have you seen Strangers Pray at Night?
Yes, it's a totally different movie.
That is exactly what I'm looking for. That is exactly what I'm looking for. That is a popcorn movie.
I am looking at IMDb, and yes, the same person that did The Strangers and The Strangers Pray at Night did The Dark and the Wicked. The Dark and the Wicked is totally, I don't think it's like The Strangers or Strangers Pray at Night.
Okay.
I think I was dealing with a bad allergy attack, but I just felt so awful after I finished watching it.
Yeah.
But it was, and I love Maren Ireland, who is the star of that movie, but that movie is so depressing.
Okay. So. Well, maybe I got to give it a go. Maybe I got to give it a go.
Yeah, you should probably see it because you might like it. A lot of people do like it. What are your comfort horror movies?
So, well, basically, it's surprising. Scream 4 became one of them. I think it's because I've seen Scream so many times. Like I almost have to have a reason to put Scream on now. And it's not because I don't love it anymore, but just because I'm so familiar with it. It's not like watching. It's hard to be engaged in it because I'm ahead of it the whole time. You know, I'm just like watching the beats I've watched so many times before. And Scream 4 is enough spiritually like it. In a way that Scream 2 and Scream 3 aren't for me. And by the way, let me be clear. I came around on Scream 3 later. I really enjoy Scream 3 because now I know what it is. I know what it's trying to do, and it's not the same thing. And that's great. And it's fun. And Parker Posey's a delight. And so I have a great time watching Scream 3, but Scream 4 became one of those ones that like, I'll just stick on if I don't know what to watch. And I always feel happy watching it. Although and maybe this is wrong to say because I love Sydney Prescott. I love her. But it would have been super cool if at the end of Scream 4, Jill's plan worked and Sydney died and everybody thought that she was the new Sydney and the next movie revolved something around someone knowing what she did or something like that. You continue on the Jill story and either work your way around her next killing, or I know it's not what the Scream movies are supposed to be, but it was such an interesting commentary if like, it was already interesting commentary on the social media thing and everything, but like, it would have been super, super hardcore to like follow the killer in the next movie.
That would have been a direction they could have taken. it wouldn't have been Scream at all. I agree. It would have been interesting, but it wouldn't have been Scream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the guy who sits through franchises talking. So like it would just would have been a completely different entry in the series, you know? It would have been the Halloween 3 of the series.
Everyone thinks that Scream 3 is so out of place. And they all say that the reveal at the end of who the killer was, which I'm just going to spoil it because I think it's a 20-year-old movie. I think everyone's seen it. It's her half-brother. I think when they were meeting with Milton. Yeah. When they were like, well, what happened? They should have been like, what happened to her? And he could have been like, well, she had a kid and then she disappeared. And so they could be like, oh, who? So that could have been planted. But
They could have planted it a little better. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, and at a certain point too, like I almost, so Scream 4 made me care about who the killer was again. Mm-hmm. Like Scream 2, I didn't care who the killer was. I was in it for the Scream ride, you know? Yeah. Like I wasn't even trying to figure it out. And especially after Jamie Kennedy died, I like almost couldn't focus on the movie for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Like it hurt me so badly. But so when we got to Scream 3, I was just, you know, that's the thing about all the sequels is you're just trying to chase the feeling that first one gives you, and it can never give it to you again because you can never be surprised by what it is again.
Yeah.
So the thing that Scream 4 did that surprised me, I love the opening with all the stab movie openings. I think it's so fun and meta. Like, I love all the meta stuff. I'm a sucker for it. But then going through the rest of the movie, it felt like one of the Scream knockoffs. It felt like an urban legend, or it felt like, and I Know What You Did, or all those other movies where it was just like the next group of attractive teenagers, like kind of doing their vibe on a Scream movie, you know? But then at the end, like where it finally was about something other than like, you took my mom, or like whatever, you know, whatever anybody's, or like you killed my son, whatever it's always like just the normal slasher, whatever. And the thing that Scream did that was so cool, I know Billy is like, how about this for a motive? Your slut whore mother. Like he does his whole thing. But like, I was way more interested in, it's the millennium, motives are incidental.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that kind of is what all the real violence in society kind of felt like. It's the millennium, motives are incidental. So I felt like, not Scream caused it, but I felt like Scream had its finger on that particular pulse, you know? And so when Scream 4 was actually about something like a theme, like I have to kill for social media, I don't need friends, I need followers, all that stuff. Like it had a theme to it instead of just like, you killed somebody I loved, now I kill the people you love, you know? Which is just rote slasher stuff.
Yeah.
I'm more into when there's like a theme to the killing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's a good point. What are your theories for Scream 5? Because so far, I'm just hoping that Kirby actually didn't die.
I would love for Kirby to be back.
Oh, she was so good in 4.
Absolutely. Kirby's our new Randy. Kirby is our new Randy. I know they tried to make like us think that the kids with the film club were the new Randys, but it was Kirby. And I loved her to death.
Oh, and
I do hope she survived it. I want her back.
Yeah. And I hope that Heather Matarazzo comes back as Randy's sister.
That'd be fine.
She's not on the IMDb page right now, but I've been told that that's not really correct until the movie comes out.
And they might just be hiding it, but I haven't been thinking about any theories at all. I haven't been thinking about who the killer might be. I haven't been thinking about who might come back. And it's not out of, it might be out of just like trying to protect myself too.
Yeah.
Because as I said, movies that I don't like that come out in a series can't ruin what came before for me. I can get my hopes dashed on an opening night just because try as I might to just be like, whatever this movie, if it can just do what it's trying to do and not trying to hit this crazy goal that I have from like 1996, you know, like if it can just be its own thing enough to be good, then I'm going to meet it on its level. And I'm just trying to kind of live in that space. So if they have any surprises of people coming back for me, I've just been kind of trying to let that happen to me on opening night and have no expectations. I mean, I loved Ready or Not. So these guys have my goodwill going in.
Yeah.
But I don't, other than that, like I haven't. Do you have any like really hardcore theories that you think are right?
No, I just think that Heather Matarazzo is coming back because there are two kids on the list on IMDb that have the last name Meeks Martin.
Oh, really?
So it makes me think that they're Randy's niece and nephew.
Nice.
So, and then there's one character that has the last name Mackenzie, which is the neighbor that Drew Barrymore's mother was told to go run to.
Down to the Mackenzies, which was a Halloween reference.
I watched the first trailer that came out so many times, and then I watched a bunch of like YouTube analyses of it. And then I was like, I don't want to ruin this for myself. I'm just going to stop watching them. So,
yeah. So I also have been trying to not do that ahead of time because it's so easy in the movie marketplace now to just like OD on a movie even before it comes out almost, at least the big ones. And I'll do all my deep dives after, you know?
Yeah.
But like after I see it, after I know what I think of it, as soon as it's on 4K, it's going to be on my shelf no matter what I think of it because I have to own all the Scream movies.
Yes.
Because I'm a psycho. like that's how it's going to be. Same with Halloween Kills. It's if I have the rest of the series, I need to have the whole series.
But I'm super excited. I'm going on Thursday night to see Scream 5 in Dolby. So hopefully it's not too packed. I'm going to wrap myself in like protective gear.
But yeah, that's the thing too. I like the night before, I'm just gonna go like online and see what screening I can find that's not too packed, but also hopefully not too empty. Like,
yes,
I really want to feel the other people in there with me at a Scream movie.
Yeah, that's part of the fun of seeing horror movies in theaters.
Yeah, absolutely. It's why they're almost the only movies I go see in theaters anymore. Well, I also have a 3-year-old, so I have to be very choosy, but like, so like on my nights out, I usually prioritize horror movies.
Yeah, definitely. How do you plan on introducing your 3-year-old to horror when they are of age?
That's a great question. I don't think I will. I think she'll know because daddy has these weird figures on the wall and daddy has like tons of Fangoria magazines, like up on the shelf out of reach. And she can spin the, you know, Blu-ray case behind me like it's one of those rotating ones. So she loves to spin it. And eventually she's going to start looking at the titles. And if she asks me what they are, I'll be like, yeah, this is what they are. And she'll be like, can I see? And depending on how she is or what she actually pulled off the shelf.
Hostel?
Maybe not. Maybe we're not starting with Hostel. Maybe we're not starting with any Eli Roth. But you know, I think a great gateway would be like the Monster Squad. I loved the Monster Squad as a kid. That was one of my gateways. Yeah, Monster Squad, Ghostbusters, maybe not Ghostbusters anymore, but like Monster Squad, if she's into scary stuff, would give her that scary things can be beat by kids too, not to worry, little one kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's cute. What about Nightmare Before Christmas?
Nightmare Before Christmas, yeah. She could totally watch that. That's fine. But that one is not for me.
Okay. That's fine. We're so diplomatic in this interview.
Absolutely. We are just so enlightened as people.
But speaking of going to see horror movies in theaters, have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Oh, well, okay. So it was going to happen no matter what, but we're just going to keep talking about Scream because so like I told you, my dad took me to see that. Me, my sister, my girlfriend, when I was 16 years old, first slasher movie seen almost ever and blew my mind, took my friends back. And that time in that screening, we got to the end of the movie and Randy's like, this is the part where the killer comes back for one more scare. And then she's like, not in my movie. And like it slowed down and it burned. The print burned in the projector at that moment. And so everybody had to walk out without knowing if there was one more scare or not, except for me, because I had seen it the night before.
Yeah. Were you like standing in the corner with the sign being like, I know the ending. Tell me. Come talk to me.
I wasn't. I didn't want to ruin it for anybody. Yeah. I wanted them to go back and watch it all over again, along with me.
Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
Probably, but I don't have like a list in my head of that. Oh, you know what? There is one that I'm just scared to watch. There's one that I'm just flat out scared to watch. And it's Lars von Trier's Antichrist.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I've heard that it's really like intense and it's on a lot of people's like list of like really intense horror movies that they won't watch.
Yeah. Well, so there's just a couple things like that I've heard about it, like, and I haven't done a deep dive on it or anything, but I like other Lars von Trier movies. So it's not that I don't like Lars von Trier. It's that it's about a couple grieving the loss of a child, like a baby child. And like, yeah. I would like, that still would have been a downer even before I was a dad. And now that I have like a young child, that kind of stuff really devastates me. So like there's that. And then I also think there's some kind of like female circumcision in it. And I don't know that I want to watch that. That might be wrong. That might not be true, but I believe I heard something like that.
All right. I won't be looking it up, but I will take your word for it. Cause I don't think I'll ever watch that one either.
It's like the only one that I've truly, every time I'm like, I want to see something gnarly. Like I've done the hardcore stuff. I've gone down Martyrs and Serbian Film and all the, I've done, you know, like if I hear something's really messed up, I want to go watch it. I want to see why it's so messed up and if I can handle it. That's part of the horror thing for me. But Antichrist is one that I'm legitimately just nervous about, and I don't want to feel what it's going to make me feel.
Yeah. I have not seen Martyrs, though I do want to watch it. I don't want to see a Serbian film. That's just not for me.
Martyrs is incredible. It's so good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I love New French Extremity too, like that. I love a bunch of that stuff.
Okay. I've subscribed to some streaming service that I got like 2 months for 99 cents, and the movie Climax is on there, which I hear is really intense.
Yeah. So Gaspar Noé.
Yes.
It's that one doesn't feel great at the end of the day. Like that's one of those ones like you, like the ambition's great. And I love dance movies. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be a messed up movie with a lot of cool dancing. And there is some cool dancing in it, you know, but it feels bad too. Like a lot of Gaspar stuff I have, or Noé, whichever he prefers to be referred to as, has that vibe. And I'm almost out now on his stuff because I do want to see if it's messed up or whatever, but it always leaves me feeling miserable.
All right. I will remember that going into it. Did you see Darren Aronofsky's Mother a few years back?
I loved Mother. I thought it was so gnarly. I thought it was so bizarre and so cool. And it's one of those ones that like, so there are certain filmmakers who, or certain films actually, that just have a vibe, like a certain tone to them. And they will like sink or swim by their tone. Like David Lynch movies are like that. And his tone is one that resonates with me most, like pretty often. I'm into the tone he's setting. Like Donnie Darko is one of those ones where people are like, the story makes no sense. It just doesn't like, it makes almost emotional sense, but it doesn't make logical sense. And the tone of it is perfect for me. And so like, it's one of those, you know, like yeah. it's just got a tone that like pings perfectly.
Yeah. I have Donnie Darko on my shelf and I've watched it only once. Yeah. My high school boyfriend bought it for me for my birthday one year because he knew that I liked Jake Gyllenhaal. So I guess he just bought me a bunch of Jake Gyllenhaal movies and I watched it and I was like, I don't get it. But I was 18. So I think
Being older will not help you get it. There's like the get it of it is about the tone of it. And it's like whether that tone resonates with you or not is you getting it. And if you watch the director's cut, you did yourself a disservice.
Okay. All right. I'll have to see what's on it.
Yeah.
What was your favorite horror movie that you saw in 2021?
Oh, 2021. My favorite horror movie that I saw in 2021 was... So we're not counting Promising Young Woman as a horror movie, right?
No, we can.
That was my favorite movie that I saw in 2021, period.
I like that a lot too.
It was my number one movie I saw in 2021. But other than that, because that's kind of on the cut, like that's almost like a thriller. I know the horror thriller divide is a weird one. And I think it almost qualifies. No, I think it does qualify as a horror film.
Yeah.
But the other one would be Shadow in the Clouds. Did you watch that?
I didn't see that.
It's on Hulu. It's Chloe Grace Moretz is in a war film, but it's not like a war film. It's just a war airplane that she has to get aboard to go from one place to another. Oh. And this, all the dudes in it, it's just a bunch of dudes flying the plane. They like put her down. They say there's no more seats. So they put her down in the gunner seat And she's like trying to justify her position on the plane and saying that she has the paper that proves that she like outranks most of them, and they're being just a bunch of jackasses, and it's horrible. And then she sees a gremlin outside the plane running around trying to tear it apart. And it's so crazy. That movie is so crazy and fun.
I'll have to put it on my Hulu watch list. So yeah. Besides Scream 5, what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2022?
I don't think I have an answer for you.
No? Okay. So Scream 5.
Yeah. Scream 5 is the one that I have my sights set on. And I don't really know what else is coming up. I don't really have a good beat on what's coming down the pipeline. I just wait until something pops on social media, and I try not to be on social media too much because that's depressing too. But like, like as things come in, I've mostly curated my feed down to people I know in person and like the horror community. So like I mostly just hear about cool horror stuff coming out, and that's where I'll find out what's coming up. But I just, Scream 5 is where it's at for me. I'm so, so excited to see whatever it ends up being. And yeah, do you have one other than Scream 5?
Hold on. I watched a YouTube video about upcoming horror movies, and I cannot remember. Nope.
Oh yeah, Nope.
Jordan Peele.
Yeah, that sounds good. Don't the guys who, Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson, do they have a new movie coming out? I love their stuff, and I thought they had a new one coming out.
I'm not sure, but also The Black Phone by Scott Derrickson.
Oh, that for sure. Yeah. I love, oh my God. I can't believe they pushed it back. Okay, I did know that movie was coming out. I was so excited to see it in February.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love Derrickson and I love Cargill. Yeah. And I just cannot wait to see that. And I love Joe Hill. I cannot wait to see that movie.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good. Hopefully I won't get my hopes up too much because then I'll hate it. But
yeah, but them pushing it actually into the summer, well, maybe they're just trying to get around this latest variant, which would make sense too. But like, yeah. It also shows kind of belief. It also shows that whoever's releasing it, I don't know what studio made it. Like, it shows that they believe it could be a moneymaker if they just get it to where people can see it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
Okay, so Darko is one that I argue with people a lot, although that's not really necessarily a horror movie. You know, I don't think so. I don't think these ones where you are trying to like pinpoint a certain movie, they're harder answers for me because I don't have a lot of folks to talk horror with. And when I do, we usually agree a lot about them. Did you see Titane?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think of that?
It was a ride. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I didn't hate it, but I'm not sure I can say I liked it. I will probably never watch it again. I will always recommend it to people because they should also go on the ride.
So that's where I am too. Like, I feel that same way about it, but the person I saw it with was a friend of mine who I see a lot of horror with, and she hated it. Like, she just thought it was not, like, it was not for her. And we talked about it for a long time after watching it. And so that's the last one I can remember disagreeing, because I enjoyed myself. I don't know. Did you see Julia Ducour's other movie, Raw?
I have not seen Raw. No.
Raw is incredible. Okay. Raw is one of my highest recommend. Like, I recommend that so highly to people if they can handle the body horror aspect of it.
Yeah. See, I have trouble with body horror a lot, but I might be at the point where I'm becoming a little bit desensitized to it, not in a bad way. Like, I wouldn't want to see it in person, but like watching it in a movie is getting to be a little bit more palatable to me.
Yeah.
So maybe.
For sure. Yeah. But other than that, like, things that people love that are not for me is not something I spend a ton of time on. But I don't think, but see, like, every time I think of a movie that like generally got bad, like a bunch of people were like hating on, I also have found the people who liked it. So I don't know that there's like The Hunt. Did you see The Hunt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked
it. I loved The Hunt. Yeah. I thought it was so clever and fun, but like all the early stuff was kind of negative on it, but maybe that was just the political yeah. Okay, aspect
that was,
of it.
That was all that was.
Yeah. Okay. Because I just thought the movie was so much fun. And I feel like I see a lot of people talking about how fun it is. So yeah, I just don't know a movie that's universally hated, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
See, I hear you asking people this all the time, and I had a hard time coming around to it. And I thought either one of two answers, and they're not, neither of them are very original. There's already had a remake, but I would love a crack at like an April Fool's Day movie, because I do love that 80s version so much, but I could be like, I could make it a lot less 80s for you, Allison. I could make a movie that you liked.
Yay. Please.
And I like the playfulness of it. And that's something that I can't stop talking about, apparently, is like a good playful horror movie. Or Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, and just not make it a Halloween franchise movie. Just make it something Season of the Witch, something along those lines, because that's a really fun premise too. And it could be done again.
Yeah, I watched that for the first time this October, and I was like, what is this?
I like it.
I mean, yeah, it's not bad. I don't think it's bad, but it wasn't like a Halloween movie. But I knew that going into it. So
for sure. That it helps to know going in, because yeah, like audiences didn't initially, and mm-hmm, that's what doomed it. So
yeah.
So yeah, but I like the idea of them turning the whole Halloween thing into like a series, like an anthology series, like a Tales from the Crypt kind of thing. I thought that could have been a lot of fun, but I do love Michael Myers too. So like I say, Nightmare on Elm Street, the Freddy movies are the ones that are the most fun to watch over and over again. But the ones that I do watch over and over again the most are the Halloween movies.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I don't know why. It's just what happens to me.
What movies do I watch over and over? Maybe I think I watch the Paranormal Activity movies a lot.
Oh, I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to send you my box set right now. You'll have to send me your address after. Oh my God. See,
that's high on the franchise list, because it's one of the only horror series that I have not seen a single one. So like one of the night marathons, I'm going to have to sit down and do it.
Yes. And you have to do it in the dark. So.
Okay. That's hard. That's hard though, because I'm filming it. So it's hard to do it in the dark.
That's true. Use night vision.
Oh, okay. There we go.
So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Oh, Chucky. He seems like he's a good time. Did you watch the series?
No, I didn't watch the series. I've never seen any of the original films. I've only seen the monstrosity that was the 2019 remake.
Oh, sure, sure. I liked that too. Like, so that's another one where like, I like the Chucky movies. I, by and large, there are some that aren't for me, but there are a lot of them that I do enjoy. And he's a wisecracking smart ass. And if I was going to hang out, you know, watching movies with somebody, he'd have a lot of wisecracking to do. So, and I think if he knew that we couldn't leave, like he'd leave me alone for the most part. I could provide for his basic needs, go shopping. I could do the shopping without people freaking out. If Chucky went down shopping, it doesn't matter how many masks he wears or how many 6 feet he stays apart. People are going to freak out talking dolls there. So I could provide a service for him in that way, and just companionship. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah. Yeah. You can go to jakejarvey.com. There you can see my kind of video work reel and contact me there. Or I'm Pops Jake Jarvey on Twitter or on YouTube. It's just Jake Jarvey. It used to be Pineapple Boy Films, and it still is the link, youtube.com/Pineapple Boy Films. But like I stopped using that. I'm just Jake Jarvey.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait to hear what you think of Scream 5 next week.
Yeah, you too. I'll be watching.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jake Jarvey, and thanks again to Jake for coming on. I'll leave links to his socials in the show notes, so if you want to continue the conversation with him, you can do it over on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at hello@whostherepodcast.com. Until next time, stay scary and get vaccinated.